This morning's reading will be from the book of John. We have two passages we'll be reading, starting with chapter 14, verses 15 through 20, and then secondly, chapter 16, verses 5 through 16. Starting in chapter 14, the writer records, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him, because he abides in you, with you, and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will behold me no more. But you will behold me, because I live, you shall live also. In that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you are no longer behold me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine, and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said, that he takes of mine, and will disclose it to you. A little while, and you will no longer behold me, and again a little while, and you will see me."
It's really great to be back with a church that I love. At my home church in Abilene, my preacher was preaching a series on the Holy Spirit. He was going to be gone one week. He asked me to preach. He said, "Pick some passage out of the New Testament on the Holy Spirit." I was tempted to go to those passages in Paul where I feel like I'm on a little firmer ground, but I've never understood these passages in John, so I decided to preach those. That point in my life where I need to listen to some texts again that I never really understood. And I don't know if you noticed in the reading here, but boy, there are a lot of words. That's the problem with John. He just goes on and on and on. And Mark, you have the action, you get on with it, but in John, it's just talk, 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 talk. And you feel like you're drowning in the talk. So I've tried to listen to these passages very carefully. I've tried to listen to the words, and kind of my standard for my teaching is until I can say it clearly in my own words, I probably don't understand it yet. So I'm going to try to say as clearly as I can in my own words what I think John is saying in this passage. And my goal is that you will walk out with a little lighter step. That's the goal. John uses a strange word here to describe the Holy Spirit. It's this weird Greek word, paraclete. And it has two different kinds of connotations. Okay, so I know some of you are in the young adults class. You can say Job. I can tell by looking, some of you are in the young adults class, but the book of Job is sort of almost pictured of this trial where God is the judge, Satan is the prosecuting attorney, and if you're on trial, God is the judge and Satan is the prosecuting attorney, the question is, who do you want for your lawyer? And Perry Mason is dead. You want the Holy Spirit for your lawyer. And that's one of the connotations of the word paraclete. The Holy Spirit is your lawyer. feeling better already. Or maybe if you're really struggling in your spiritual life and you decide, hey, I need to go get some therapy. I want the best possible therapist. Then the word paraclete means that too. The Holy Spirit is going to be your therapist or counselor. That's the kind of language that he uses of the Holy Spirit. Okay, but he says three things that I find very hard to believe. One of the best ways to read the Bible is to argue with it. If you never argue with the Bible, it's a sure sign you're not taking it very seriously, because the Bible says some very irritating things. So I want to argue with the text. Three things here that Jesus says about the Holy Spirit that I have a hard time believing. Number one, it is better for you if I go, because if I go, I will send you the Holy Spirit. I don't know. Physical presence of Jesus? I think I'd like that. Let us suppose that when you show up today, you have two choices. You can either come here, Randy Harris, in the auditorium, or you can hear Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the real Jesus, the physical Jesus, who will be speaking in the fellowship hall. I am going to have no one to talk to. I've done this before. I've spoken opposite of Max Lucado. He's in the auditorium. I'm in the broom closet with my four people, and those are family members, and they're resentful. They don't care about me. You want to go hear Jesus. Hey, and we're an evangelistic church, so what we're going to do is we're going to put out the word for one Sunday only, for one half-hour speech and fellowship to follow. The physical Jesus, the real Jesus, will be available. Come and talk to him if you want to. Can you imagine how many people would show up? And all those people are going to be in your way. They're competitors, trying to get close to Jesus. Have you noticed this? When you drive, anyone else who is in a car is the opposition. They are an obstacle to you achieving your goals. Get to a certain place. And all those other people who are trying to get close to Jesus are a problem to you because they're in the way while you're trying to get close to Jesus. I spoke at Pepperdine a few weeks ago, and N.T. Wright was there, and that name doesn't mean anything to a lot of you, but just think about the LeBron James of New Testament studies. I mean, he is the man. And I got to eat dinner with him one night, and I decided because... I am a deep and vile sinner, that I would give my preacher a hard time about the fact that I was having dinner with N.T. Wright, and he wasn't. And so my ability for a joke got out in front of my judgment, like this never happens to you. And I sent him a text that says, I'm having dinner with N.T. Wright, he's asking about you. And he wrote me back a text and says, really, really? Is he really asking about me? Okay. No. All was true except that part. A few weeks later, I was in Colorado and I was speaking, and due to an AC connection, I got to go to a Colorado Rockies baseball game, and I'm sitting actually right beside the dugout. And so I send my preacher a text saying, I'm sitting right by the Colorado Rockies dugout, and they're asking about you. He sent me a text back and said, that's probably because they know I'm so close to N.T. Wright. Not a bad comeback, huh? Okay. So it's not N.T. Wright for you. Who is it? Who is it that you really want to get close to? Who is it that if you heard they were going to be at a banquet and you were going to get to sit at the table, that would make your heart beat faster and you'd think, I've always wanted to get close to this conversation with them and now I'm going to have a chance to do it. And everybody else in the world who wants to be there is a competitor to you. You're all trying to get close to this person, and you all can't be equally close to him at the same time. And so Jesus says, it's better for you if I go and send the Spirit. Because when the physical Jesus was present, only a few people could be close to him at any particular time. And it was usually the same old three, Peter, James, and John. They got to do everything. Boy, Bartholomew, he had to hear about the transfiguration from them. He wasn't there. But Jesus says, if I go and I send the Spirit, all of you can be equally close to me all the time. And there's no competition. The only thing that stands between you and this deep relationship with Jesus is your willingness to have it. Because I'm going to send this comforter, this helper, this paraclete to you, and you can be equally close to Jesus all the time. And Jesus claims that's better. Okay. Maybe he's right. And as I'm listening to this text, some of the language that I might find most compelling is when he says, I will not leave you as orphans, because there's something about word orphan that pushes my buttons. Somebody pointed out to me this haunting, these haunting videos of an orphanage in an Eastern Bloc country where you have all of these babies in this orphanage and none of them are crying. It's utterly quiet. And the reason it's quiet is because the babies have discovered that crying accomplishes nothing. No one comes. Nobody comes to comfort them. Nobody comes to pick them up. It does no good, so they finally give up on it. Had some students in my house the other night, and they saw pictures of my now dead dogs. And they started asking questions about the dogs, and I decided to try to amuse myself. I would try to make them cry by telling dying dog stories. It was a party, after all. So I'm trying to tell a story about the sad death of my dogs. Guy starts laughing and says, Randy, I'm an orphan. And he is. And no dying dog story is going to make him cry. He knows what it's like to be an orphan. And Jesus says to these apostles who deeply distressed at the fact that he's getting ready to leave them, wait a minute. As orphans. That would never happen. Many of you know that years and years ago, I went out for 40 days of silence with hermits. It's a great experience. And I was getting to the point where I was getting ready to come back into the real world. And I was very distressed by that. Stop was going to have to be at Walmart, which is an extremely noisy place. And I began to stay where I am. I feel like my mic's cutting in and out. I'm just going to step back here and use this one, okay? So I decided I think I'll just stay where I am and become a hermit. And there are certain challenges to that in churches of Christ. We're not as well equipped as Catholics are to support hermits. But I figured I could figure it out. Lots of churches who like me. I would say, I have a new ministry I want you to support. They would say, great, what? And I said, I want to be a hermit. They would say, what do hermits do? I would say, nothing. They would say, I don't know, we already have three other staff members doing that. And finally it occurs to me, okay, I don't really want to be a hermit. So as I'm getting ready to go, I say to God, are you going to go with me? And it's as if all heaven laughs at the very notion that God would let me go without him. Jesus says, I will never leave you orphaned. That when I leave, it is going to be possible for all of you to be equally close to me all the time, and I will never desert you. Everybody else might, but you will never be an orphan. Ah, I like that idea. And then Jesus says one other thing that I find very puzzling. He says, when I send the Spirit to you who will be with you and keep you from being orphans and allow you to be close to me, he will lead you into all truth. Now that doesn't seem like that part's gone very well. If that were true, all of you would agree with me about everything. But some of you don't. How is it that the Holy Spirit is leading us into all truth? And this is where you almost have to read some other passages to help. When the Bible talks about the Spirit dwelling in us, it's seldom individual, it's generally communal. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. And as the Spirit dwells in us, it leads us into the truth, which in the case of John is always stuff about Jesus. The Spirit points to Jesus. Okay, so raise your hand if you're at least, oh, let's say 70 years old. And we'll admit it. Okay. That's quite a few. The book of John was probably written somewhere around the year 85. Jesus died somewhere around 30. Okay, can you do the math? How many years is that? Between 55? Okay, that means if you were, say, 20 years old when the book of John was written, that means when the book of John was written, that would make you 75. If you were 20 walking around looking after Jesus, by the time John gets around writing, you're 75. Okay, in the ancient world, let me tell you what that mostly makes you. Dead.
Okay, back in those days, life extensions weren't nearly what they are today. Which means John was written to basically second-generation Christians. He was writing to people who did not see the events that he's telling them about. In other words, the book of John was written to people like you. And the question is, how do we come to believe events we did not see with our own eyes? That's why John tells this story about Thomas as he comes and puts his hands on Jesus. And Jesus says, "Blessed are you who see and believe, but even more blessed are those who don't see and believe." That is the people he's writing to. And John's answer to that question, how do people who haven't seen come to believe? His answer is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit in the community of faith bears witness to Jesus. I understand things about Jesus by knowing you that I could never understand by simply reading the Bible. Are you with me here? We come to understand the truth of the gospel but by our life with one another. We actually come to understand Jesus more deeply by our life together. And the Holy Spirit doesn't, by the way, lead you into the truth of physics. It leads you into the truth of Jesus. It's what the whole book of John is about. That together, as we bear witness, we come to understand the truth about Jesus. Every once in a while, I'll have the opportunity of meeting somebody whose life is so different from mine. And yet we share in common our relationship with Jesus, and it's always a revelation where I say, oh, that's what the gospel looks like when it gets planted in that soil. Oh. Now I get it. And as we come together and discern together, we see the truth about what God is trying to do in the world through Jesus Christ. So John says these amazing things. He says, hey, Jesus will never leave you orphaned. And you can now be as close to Jesus as you want to be. And as we draw near to Jesus, we will see ever more deeply the truth expressed by God in Jesus Christ through the community of faith. And I'm almost convinced that once again, Jesus is right. It's better if I go and I send the Spirit to you. We're going to sing a song now. There'll be spiritual people lined up along the sides. If you have any spiritual need, if you're a visitor here like I am, you can be perfectly bold, walk up to one of these people. They'll be happy to pray for you, and I promise you, no one here will do anything to embarrass you. This is a group of people who have come to believe in a crucified and risen Messiah, who, though it is hard to believe, still lives and works in our midst. This we believe, this we proclaim. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.
to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, glory and majesty, dominion and power through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore, world without end. Amen. Let's stand and sing.